This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
What a lovely presence of God today. It was just so, so precious. David, I love it when you lead worship. I think the thing that I really love about having spent some time with David over a couple of years, the thing I love about it when David leads worship is it's just so authentic. Okay, every so often we have these worship leaders meetings at Juliet and Joel's house. And at the end, we always pray because we're good Christian people, right? And the rest of us are like, oh gosh, right, that's gone on. Let's pray. Come on, it's time to go. Not this guy. I love it. No, I seriously love it. David is like, he just breaks. He breaks for people. He breaks for the presence of God, and it just flows. I just want to honor you, mate. Everyone have a nice day yesterday? Do you know, this time yesterday, I was up to my nip-nips in a beautiful river on Exmoor. Oh, it was lovely. I was there with my son and my middle child. Juliet's off camping somewhere else. And it was so lovely. It was just beautiful. Sky was gorgeous. Rolling hills of Exmoor. And Thorin and I were wading up through this river and slipping over. And it was lovely. And she's like, oh, I've just never felt so free. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And then we stopped off at the market on the way back through South Moulton, pick up some strawberries and some bread, as you do. And we're waiting by the toilets for Granny. She was stood next to a motorbike, a big, big motorbike, because I was a big man making stuff out of leather. Woof. And Thorin was like, oh, Dad, I've never been stood so close to such a sweet ride. I was like, oh my gosh, where have you come from? It makes me laugh. Anyway, don't know why I shared that. I'm not going to talk about rivers or sweet rides, unfortunately. A while ago, I don't know if you know, but Owen and Claire, one of the things I really like about Owen and Claire in their leadership is it's so open-handed. It's really, really open-handed. A lot of churches that I've been at or spoken at, you kind of get, right, this is what we're going to talk about this term, right? Here are the topics. And, you know, there's one church I spoke at, the guy said, hey, just so you know, this is the topic. This is what we've been going through. And here are some points for your sermon if you want. I was like, just want to do it. I mean, you know, just, I don't mind. I can come. But with Owen and Claire, they're really, really open. And that in itself is a challenge. But I was asking the Lord, what do you want to speak about today? And the topic came really, really quickly. And it's a topic that I want to talk about, but we need to hold it carefully because it's a topic that can cause a little bit of in our hearts. And I often think about it in terms of dock leaves. Because where do you find dock leaves? You find dock leaves next to nettles. And so often, what we're going to talk about is it's stung in the past because it's been handled badly or misrepresented. But as I was asking the Lord, what do you want to talk about today? And he put this on my heart. I felt like it was because the Lord wanted to apply some dock leaves and redeem this concept because it's so foundational to the Christian faith that if we don't handle this topic carefully and healthily, it can really affect how we interact with God and how our relationship can be with God. And Christianity is all about relationship, right? It's all about how us as humans can interact with the mystery that is God. And so the topic I want to talk about this morning and look at is the Father heart of God. I don't know what kind of relationship you had with your fathers, and it kind of sounds like pop culture or pop psychology, doesn't it? you know, oh, it's probably the relationship with the father, that's probably where that's come from. And so I'm thinking, oh, great, do I have to start saving up for my children's counselling now, right? How? It's not what, it's not if, it's like, how am I going to screw up my children? But unfortunately, it's true, right? We, our parents shape so much of how we view the world. And our parents, and especially our dads, right? And when we think about Christianity, we have this word that gets used a lot, Father. And Jesus addresses God as Father. And God is introduced as Father in the Old Testament. And because of our experiences, sometimes that can be painful. And even the word Father in the English language, right, it has so many connotations. For some people, it can, you know, father is very formal, isn't it? But we might not feel comfortable calling God daddy either, right? It's this tension. And I'm not trying to get people to use certain words. It's more about a concept, right? And again, it's because, and I couldn't get away from this feeling, that it's because God wants to open up a wider pathway for our relationship with himself, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I wanted to share just a little story about kind of one of my first experiences with God as God Father. So for those of you that don't know, I lost my dad when I was about 12. After a couple of years battling with cancer, he passed away. I didn't have a bad experience of a dad. My dad was not abusive. But I didn't have a great experience of my dad. I mean, this was 30 years ago now, right? And I have very few memories of what my dad was like. And I was actually talking to my mum about it last night, and we were, you know, kind of just chatting as the sky got dark. It was really lovely, just talking about who this guy was. But yet still, you know, losing that father figure as you're just coming into your teen years, you're kind of stepping, you're supposed to be stepping away from underneath your mother's apron and kind of learning to be what it is to be a man. You lose your dad, that's kind of a significant moment. Jump forward to being 19, 20, maybe. It was 2004. I was in Northern Australia, Darwin, Australia, doing a discipleship training school with an organisation called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And it was an incredibly formative 6 months. I did the really generous thing, right? I was like, God, if you're real, I'll give you 6 months of my time. Aren't I generous? But God's so kind. And it ended up being 19 years, but hey-ho. Anyway, so as part of the discipleship training school, you had lots of teaching, 15 hours of teaching on a topic a week. Whoosh, you think Sunday mornings are hard. And then at the end of the week, there would always be room for ministry. And so we had this week on the Father Heart of God, and the teaching was good. This guy called Rob Henser, English guy living in Australia. You know, we connected really, really well. It was great teaching. It was fine. And you know, I kind of slipped back into my school days and just kind of sat at the back of the class and listened a little bit, probably a little bit more than my school days. But then it got to the ministry time. And it was an open ministry time. If anybody wanted to share anything, anybody wanted some prayer, you know, there's nothing coercive or anything silly like that. You didn't have to do anything. And anyway, I was at the back of the class, and one by one, people were going up and just saying, you know, I've learned this about myself, I've learned this about God, and I'd really like prayer for this. And everyone would gather around them, and it was lovely. It was a lovely time. And I was at the back of the class, and I was just pacing, because I was just getting angrier and angrier and frustrated and frustrated. And I remember finally being like, oh, for goodness, right, I'll go then, shall I? Goodness, what an attitude. And I went up and I said, you know what? I'm really annoyed because this is the thing. Every time I go to knock on God's office door, there's a sign that just says, gone fishing. Why are you always effing fishing? And it's funny, being an extrovert, it just sometimes you don't know what's going on until it comes out of your mouth, which my wife loves. It just came out. And I just remember breaking down. I broke down and I wept and I wept and I wept. Big, ugly tears and snot freely flowing down my pristine black t-shirt. And my friends just gathered around me, lay on hands. I just encountered the love of the Father for probably the first time, thankfully not the last time. But that kind of restoration of that connection, the restoration of that which was lost. And I wonder if this morning, maybe not in the same way, maybe no snot or tears, but the Lord wants to do a similar thing for us. I know as I was kind of thinking about it this morning, preparing for today, I was like, man, I need fresh revelation. Because we can get familiar with this stuff, right? Especially for those of us who have been around for a long time, we can get familiar with these names of God and what he's like. But man, I need fresh revelation. Because like I say, this is foundational as to how we relate to God. It's worth saying as well, a slight disclaimer, that God is described as Trinity, right? We often say this, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if I'm praying to the Holy Spirit, does that mean the Father's disengaged? Everybody say no. Well done. And it's the same if I'm praying to Jesus. Holy Spirit's not off playing Uno somewhere, right? So when I pray to one, I'm praying to them all. You can't separate them. They're yet in the Bible, and also in the Apostles' Creed, right? They're described, I don't know if you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, there are some traditions that use it kind of as a statement of faith every week, right? And through it they say, we believe in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then talks about we believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the giver of life. We believe in the Son who proceeds from the Father, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. So you've got these three distinct personalities, but they're all tied up into one. And so that's kind of part of the mystery of faith, right? The mystery of what it is to be in relationship with God. You've got this three in one. How does that work? Who do I talk to? And in some sense, it doesn't matter. But in other senses, it really does matter. Because like I say, if we've had negative experiences and bad experiences or bad theology of what the Father is actually like, then we can disassociate with that part of God. And therefore, it's difficult to actually have a full understanding relationship of how God works and that understanding. Another slight disclaimer, right? Father, that's patriarchal, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, but surely God's asexual, right? He's male and female. It's kind of both. And yes, you're absolutely right. There's plenty of scripture that talks about God in a maternal element. But we've got to remember that it was a patriarchal society when this stuff was being written down and first taught about. And we've come a long way since then, thankfully, right? So maybe the word father was used due to the language and the culture of the time. But I also, and I think that's right to a certain extent, but I also think that there's an interesting distinction that we need to wrestle with. I think the distinction is important. Yes, there are maternal, but not forgetting those maternal passages as well. So in Isaiah 49 verse 15, it talks about God being nurturing and comforting like a mother. In Matthew 23, 37, Jesus laments over the state of Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a mother hen and shelter you under my wings. Again, very, very maternal. Isaiah 66, 13 is talking about God being tender and comforting. And of course, it's not that dads can't be tender and comforting, right? It's just there are some things that mums are much, 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 much better at than, well, me. Anyway. But father was a key metaphor that's used throughout the Old and New Testament. So, again, we need to explore it. You know, it's interesting that God introduces himself as father right in Exodus, really early on at the beginning. You know, as Moses was challenging Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. God describes Israel as his firstborn son. It's my firstborn son. I am the father. How? Let them go. Let them go. But how do you relate to God? When you pray, what language do you use? Do you say, dear God? Dear Lord? Dear Jesus? Holy Spirit? Father? Is either one of those wrong? Everybody say no? No? No, I know, yes, that's fine. But again, it's how do we choose to engage and connect? Jesus taught us our Father, didn't he? But it's that, and again, you know, I mentioned earlier the connotations of the word Father. The word that's translated to our Father from Aramaic is the word Abba. Not the band. Important distinction. But Abba, and that word in Aramaic was dripping with a sense of intimacy. That closeness. And this is why one of the reasons why Jesus came was about that recalibration and helping us re-understand what God is like, re-understanding his character. And remember, the Pharisees hated the fact that Jesus used the word Abba. They found it so hard because it kind of, to their sense, it diluted the idea of God being all-powerful and majestic. But yet, God somehow manages to hold all these things in tension. At the same time, God is the author of the universe, right? He speaks and the sun is born. He calls out psalms, talks about calling out the stars, each by name, one by one, by the might of his word. Not one of them is missing, right? Talks about how he counts the very hairs on our head and counts the tears that we cry. Holds these things in tension. So, time for audience participation. So I wanted us to think a little bit about what are the attributes of a good father? What are the things that come to mind when you think about what a good father should be like? A teacher. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Teacher. Teacher and guide. A good father instructs and directs his children. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Psalm 32, verse 8. Yeah. Wants to guide us. Absolutely. What else are the attributes of a good father? A listener. Yeah. That's really good. I don't have a scripture for that one. Well done. No, that's great. 10 points to you. You win. What else?
Provider.
I've got one for that. A good father provides for the needs of his family. Your heavenly father knows what you need. Tally's father had to pick her up. What were you doing out of bed at 5 o'clock this morning? Young lady. Goodness me.
She's still awake.
Yeah, she's still awake. Just. absolutely. Provider, right? A good dad goes out of his way for his children. Do you see God doing that for you? Do you believe God will do that for you? And that's very, very easy to nod, isn't it? It's very, very easy to nod. But there are times when it just doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. I remember a while ago, I was going through a really stressful season, a really stormy season. And I had this picture. You know those joyful team-building exercises we get to do on our team-building work days? Or when we're in youth and you're told to do the trustful, right? You kind of lean back, and just fall straight. Don't worry, somebody will catch you. And I remember in this season, I was really, it was just, you know, do you know those seasons where nothing seems to go right? And you're like, oh, swimming through treacle, what on earth is going on? And you kind of get a bit attitude-y, or maybe just me. But I had this kind of feeling that I was doing the trustful. I'm like, Lord, I've been falling for a flipping long time. When are you going to catch me? Because I think the floor is coming pretty dang fast. But actually, it's about a shifting of perspective. And it's trusting that he is who he says he is, right? Okay, what else?
Affirming.
Yes. A good father strengthens and builds confidence. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. Or I love that passage in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, man. I'd love to hear that song, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To hear that song, and occasionally our hearts catch a glimpse. We catch a few notes. And I don't know about you, but oh, it fills my chest with courage and strength on those moments we catch a glimpse of that. What else? Any?
Fun!
Claire, you are finding all the ones I don't have a scripture for. I'm going to stop asking you. Right, somebody else?
Loving!
Thank you. I hope I've got one for that. It'd be pretty poor if I didn't. I love this from John. The Apostle John, he writes his letters and he says, see what great love the Father has for us. He has lavished on us. And I get really frustrated sometimes, like, that this is not in handwriting. Because can you imagine what John's handwriting would be like when he wrote that letter? Like, if he was a 15-year-old girl when I was at school, it would have been done in, like, big, glittery purple handwriting. Do you know what I mean? Because he's emphasizing, see what great love the Father has on us, that he has lavished on us, that we should be killed children of God, and that is who we are. See, we forget this stuff. And that's why it's important that we kind of recalibrate and have moments like this where we're reminded, because we go through these seasons like I was just talking about, how you're falling backwards and backwards and backwards, and you're not seeing the breakthrough that you think you're gonna, that you think you've been promised, right? But God doesn't change. His promises are true. And sometimes they just don't work to our timelines, which is really frustrating and difficult. But he is gracious and compassionate. And he is with us. I was talking with Mum last night, and like I say, we were talking about Dad and when he passed away and all those sorts of things, the years that she went through and has been through. Like I say, it's been 30 years. And we're just talking about, you know, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. Right? See, Christianity doesn't say, if you follow the rules, God will come and pick you up and save you from suffering and you'll be immune from it. If only, right? Nor does it say, if you're suffering, it's your fault. You've just got to kind of correct yourself and you'll be fine. No, Christianity says, Jesus sees you in the valley of the shadow of death. And he'll come and sit with you and walk you through it. Or Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. Lifts us up out of the mud and mire and sets our feet on a rock. How are we doing for time? Okay. Any other things that might be on my list? A support structure? Absolutely. Faithful, right? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Lamentations 3:22. He delights in his father. He delights in his children, rather. Zephaniah 3:17. Generous. A good father delights in giving good gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so as we come into land, I just kind of want to refer again to a quote that those of you that have been here before have heard me read many, many times. It's from a book called The Good and the Beautiful God. And it's all about kind of the recalibration of understanding who Jesus is and what God's like. And I absolutely love this quote. He writes this. He says, "What I have discovered is this. When I came to know the God that Jesus revealed, I absolutely fell in love with God. The more I grasp about the nature and the work of the triune God, the more I am enthralled with the truth, goodness, and beauty of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then this is the bit I always sit in. "I want to turn your attention to the God Jesus reveals. His God is good and beautiful, loving and trustworthy, self-sacrificing and forgiving, powerful and caring, and out for our good." I read that again. "I want to turn your attention to the God that Jesus reveals. His God is good and beautiful, loving and trustworthy, self-sacrificial and forgiving, powerful and caring, and out for our good." He's on our side. He's on your side. So what does this mean for us moving forward? Where do we go from here? Well, first of all, if you've been on this journey for a while, I hope this morning has served as a reminder of those foundational pieces, that he is a good father, that he longs to comfort. For those of us who may be carrying some wounds that have kind of hardened those different parts of our hearts, first of all, I want to say that the Lord doesn't hold any blame against you for that. But maybe the Lord wants to apply some soothing balm to that. And so I want to invite you to be courageous and just start re-engaging with this part of the character of God. I dare you to trust again. I dare you to believe again. And that might not be easy. You might not be able to do that by yourself, and that's okay, right? And so if that's the case, then I encourage you to find somebody that you trust and ask them to pray with you. If you're part of a triplet, it's one of the things we like to do in this church. We have triplets that we meet sporadically. Well, not sporadically. Russell, myself, and Josh meet every 2 weeks on Zoom, and we just share where we're at and pray for each other. I encourage you to do that if you're not in a triplet. Speak to Shelley. Or just find a couple of people and say, "Hey, do you want to pray regularly?" So do that. Share it at your small group. But I know that we're supposed to be wearing professional lanyards, aren't we, Shelley, that say we would like to pray with you. No, fine. Well, you know, find somebody to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. Or maybe there's a little bit more deeper roots and you might need to find some counselling to chat through some of this stuff. Wherever you're at on your journey, I really encourage you to do that. But to re-engage on those areas of the character and nature of God and see what the Lord wants to do. See how that wants to bring healing to your heart. And I'm going to read this one last time. And then we're just going to have a little bit of quiet before we wrap up and release our children from captivity. I want to turn your attention to the God that Jesus reveals. His God is good and beautiful, loving and trustworthy, self-sacrificial and forgiving, powerful and caring, and out for our good. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to come boldly into your presence. Thank you that you are not a philosophy or an impersonable God, but you are engaged and you want and long for intimacy with us and closeness with us. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us that fresh revelation of the Father. Fresh revelation and fresh understanding of you as a good Father, as fun, and as protective, as a restorer, as a redeemer, as the lover of our souls. God, thank you that you love us far more than we could ever possibly imagine or comprehend. And would we catch a glimpse of that this week? Would we catch just a couple of notes of that song you sing over us? Or a phrase or two of those lyrics of affirmation. And God, would we leak that wherever we go? That those we encounter would encounter that Father heart. And Lord, would you bring healing to those places of our hearts that are still carrying hurt or shame? Would you bring fresh revelation where we have misunderstood you? And for those who feel that they're in free fall, would you catch them? Help them to know your presence. Amen.